It's Lou Manfredini. This is How Smarts Radio. 877-213-4-LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. How may I help you on this Saturday morning, right before Father's Day weekend, where dads make more out of it than they should? They should be focused on Mother's Day, and really it shouldn't be about Father's Day, but happy Father's Day weekend. Good morning to producer Lindsay. Morning to Joe. Good morning to Don. How are we doing, everybody?
Morning, Lou. Good morning. Doing well. Thank you.
Morning, Lou. Way to earn yourself some points there.
Right. Right. What, do you think I'm new?
Strong start.
I mean, it's just sort of funny to me that, oh, it's Father's Day. It's Father's Day. Yeah, shouldn't the moms really always get all the recognition? I mean, right?
You know, in my eyes, every day should be Mother's Day, really.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So, anyway, it's Father's Day weekend, and I hope everybody is doing things in and around their home. And if there's anything that I can help you with this morning, all you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. A couple things coming up. We've got a nice Noodaloo 2 a little bit later on for the kids, which I think will be pretty interesting. And we're going to have a conversation a little bit later on, too, about outdoor, creating really nice outdoor spaces, which I think that has really exploded since the... I'm gonna be really happy when I don't have to say, because of the pandemic.
Right.
Like, when are we getting to that point?
I think we're getting there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've been out to dinner a couple times, and... You know, it seems to slowly be coming back and getting more and more comfortable. So I'm looking forward to not having to say that anymore.
Yeah.
Let's get to the phone calls right now and get things started this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Mary Ann calling in from Albertson, New York. Mary Ann, good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help you?
I have a problem with my neighbor's ivy. It's invaded my backyard all around the perimeter.
And what have we done so far?
Really nothing. I tried vinegar, you know, a couple of things, seems to work.
Is the ivy coming up, like, on your building, or where is it growing? In the grass?
It's around the perimeter.
On the grass?
Not on the grass. No, it doesn't go on the grass.
So what is it attaching itself to?
Just in the soil. It's just come through their fence.
Okay,
in the back,
so got it. Okay,
and so
it's just in the soil. All right. Do you have a pen or a pencil handy?
Pardon me?
Do you have a pen or a pencil handy so you can write down
yes,
what I'm going to tell
do.
You to do? Okay. I want you to change the pH of the soil so that the ivy doesn't want to come into your soil. And I want you to buy a product called Magic Cal. So like magic, you know, you're performing magic at a show, dash C-A-L. It's a product by...
Mandrick?
Magic.
What's the second word?
Cal, C-A-L.
Thank you.
And you're going to buy that at the nursery or the hardware store. It's by a company called Jonathan Green. And you're going to sprinkle that onto the soil, work it into the soil with, you know, like a little garden rake or something like that. And then water it. Give it about 2 or 3 weeks. It is not a weed killer, but it will change the pH of the soil, and the ivy won't like that, and it'll stay away.
All right. I'll try it. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Jim calling in from Jersey. Hey, Jim, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello, Lou?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Lou. Real great.
How may I help you, sir?
Yeah. My wife bought a toilet, and I can't get anybody to pull it in.
You broke up a little bit on your phone. Tell me, your wife bought what?
Yeah, my wife bought a toilet. Yes, a toilet bowl.
Okay.
And I can't get nobody to put it in. Now, my question to you is this. One guy wanted $530. Another guy said it'd be too much. And me being a lay person, not too mechanically inclined, can I put it in myself?
I mean, I got to be honest with you. It's not that difficult to put in a toilet. But if you've never done it before, you know, you may find it to be a little tricky. The one thing that I will tell you is that installing a toilet is a great way to throw out your back. So you got to be very careful when you go and install it. And do you know if your wife bought a one-piece or a two-piece toilet?
A two-piece. Okay. Two-piece.
Okay. So, I mean, instead of me describing how you would replace a toilet on the radio, you could probably easily go to YouTube and find videos on how to do this. It involves pulling out the old toilet, shutting off the water, cleaning up what's called the closet valve on the floor. Then with a new two-piece toilet, you actually set the bowl first with a new wax ring. And there's a couple of bolts that come up through the floor that are called Johnny bolts. You probably want to replace those. So a plumber, typically, if you were going to call a plumber to install a toilet, they would provide the toilet and they'd install it. And that could be $700, $800, $900 to do all that with the fixture. And so when they supply the fixture, if there's a problem with the fixture, let's say the toilet, you know, it's something that can be made. If it's manufactured wrong or something's wrong inside the guts of it, you know, 6 months in, that plumber stands behind the toilet as well from a warranty perspective. If you're providing the fixture, they're just going to install it. And if there's a problem with the toilet, then that's your problem, not theirs. They would come back and fix it, but charge you for it. So honestly, if it's a licensed plumber and they're telling you it's $500 to do the toilet, while I know that sounds like a lot of money, that is probably the going rate. Could you find somebody, if you could, to do it for $300? Probably. But the biggest issue right now, Jim, is that we've got such a shortage of people power when it comes to jobs, and especially in the trades, that it's a market for the people that can do the work, and they're just super busy.
Okay, Lou. Okay. I think I'm going to try it, Lou.
All right, give it a shot, but I would start with a YouTube video where you can really watch it, get comfortable with seeing pictures on how it all goes. It's not that hard. You just got to understand how the mechanics of it work, and then you seal everything up because you don't want water to leak in, you know, below you. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. By the way, our first call this morning is sponsored by bathfitter.com/Lou. House Smarts Radio, Lou Manfredini here with you. 877-213-4-LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. Let's get back to the phone lines now and talk to John. Hey, John, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Yeah, Lou?
Yes, sir.
Okay, question I got is, you basically leave the air conditioner run for the basement. What do you do when the furnace is in the attic?
I don't understand your question. So the furnace and AC, the air handler is up in the attic, and you want air conditioning in the basement?
You once said when your furnace and air AC are in the basement, leave the fan run constantly so the AC doesn't have to work as hard.
Okay.
What happens when the furnace is up in the attic?
Do the same thing. So you're
but aren't you bringing in the hot air?
Well, no. I mean, if the furnace is up in the attic in your home, you know, the furnace and AC, all of that ductwork up there, as well as the furnace box, should be insulated. So it's all closed up and insulated. In particular, in an attic space, that should be norm. I mean, you may want to double check that if that's what your concern is. But if their HVAC installers will put insulated ductwork in there, is the ductwork a little bit warmer on the outside because of the heat in the attic? Sure, but if you're circulating through the inside, it will still help to temper and keep the space more comfortable, and ultimately let the condensing unit outside run less. So absolutely the same rule applies. My kind of rule of thumb on this one, John, is that it's got to be over like 85 degrees when you get some really humid weather, because if it's lower than that, just leave it on auto and the system will be fine. But once the temps go up and we've got multiple days like that, you'll be more comfortable if you let that fan run, for sure.
Okay, my wife wins.
She's a smart lady. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Ann in Bayhead, New Jersey. Hi, Ann. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Oh, hi. The reception is a little hard.
We can hear you. We can hear you loud and clear. How may I help you this morning?
Okay. Hi. Good morning. I like your show. I'm renovating my house that's 70 years old, and I'm getting rid of the hardwood floor. What type of I heard laminate's not too good. Is there a What's another type of flooring that's not hardwood that looks expensive or luxury?
Is there a reason why you're getting rid of the hardwood? Is it in terrible condition, or what's the purpose of that? Because for me, hardwood flooring is, you know, the single best flooring you could put in.
Well, the problem is I'm on the ocean and the coastal, and the varnish comes off from that moisture on your feet.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So if you're going to do that, then what I would consider is luxury vinyl tile. And so this is a plank material that is 100% waterproof. It's beautiful looking, comes in many different styles, not only styles that look like wood, but they have styles that look like ceramic or different ones. And the 100% waterproof capability is perfect. Once it locks together, sand and whatever is not going to get in between it. It's very durable. And what I like about it over a laminate floor, well, A, the waterproof part of it, laminate doesn't offer. But in an older home, that flooring, you know, the subfloor underneath it is not going to be, you know, dead flat. It's just an old home. And so it might be flat and look really nice, but you can get with laminate flooring kind of this floor slap when you walk on it, and it kind of feels funny under your feet, right?
My neighbor has that.
Yeah, with luxury vinyl, because it's a heavy-duty vinyl, after a period of time, like a month or so, the floor settles, and then it feels like it's part of the installed house, like hardwood would. And, I mean, it's not exactly like hardwood, as I mentioned, I think that's the best floor, but how you're describing, you know, where the home is and what you want, this may be the way to go. There's a bunch of different makers of luxury vinyl, and I will tell you that this product is one that you get what you pay for. So I don't want you buying $2 a square foot luxury vinyl. You're going to be spending, you know, well over $350, maybe even $450. And I have nothing to do with this company, but I've seen their products. It's a company out of California called Cali Bamboo, C-A-L-I, Bamboo. And while they make really good bamboo flooring, they also make a very robust luxury vinyl tile that I like.
Oh, thank you. I trust you.
All right.
Now, do I need to put a, underneath?
Not a Tyvek, but there needs to be a really good underlayment. So no matter whose floor you choose, if you're doing a bunch of remodeling, I want you to end up with a really nice flat underlayment. And so the flooring contractor, typically what they'll do is they'll staple, mechanically fasten or staple Luon, which is a quarter inch plywood, to give you a nice flat, consistent surface to then put the flooring on. Now that'll add cost, of course, but you don't want to skimp on the underlayment, because whatever's under that new floor is going to affect how the new floor looks, and you really have to get that right.
Oh, so no stapling then?
No. Stapling is okay, but they'll staple it down. Yeah. No, that's fine.
Staple's fine. And does this vinyl tile go on stairs? You do steps with it?
I think they do make treads for it in a vinyl. They'll have to put in some nosing, but there is an application for stairs. Yes.
Okay. Oh, Lou, I can't thank you enough.
Well, good luck.
Good luck
with the project, and I appreciate you calling this morning. That's very nice. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's see if we can get one more call in before we take a break. This is Michael's calling in from Oswego. Hey, Michael, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Love your show.
How may I help you? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm
we got you, Mike. Go ahead. We hear you loud. We hear you loud and clear, Michael. What's going on?
I'm just calling to see about this cleaner you guys were talking about there a while ago. It's similar to WD-40. It's also a cleaner. You know the name of that?
Yeah. It's called Superzilla. It's made by a company out of Michigan, and it's like the wonder. I don't even know how to describe it. It is a lightweight oil. It's a bio-based product, and it has so many different uses. You would think that, like, back in the Old West, this guy would have been on the back of a wagon selling this stuff as snake oil, but I have used it, and it really does work. Graffiti, or you need to get adhesive off of stuff. You need to lubricate hinges, or you've got old rusty bolts or something like that. I mean, it's got this capillary property that when you spray it on a nut or a bolt, it will kind of work its way and loosen it up. It's very funny. I heard Lindsay off the air talking to that guy saying, because he called wanting to know what that was. And she's like, well, I can tell you what it is. And he must have said, no, I want to talk to Lou. Remember, Lindsay's been doing this so long, she can probably answer probably a good 65% of the questions. Maybe more?
I'd say 65 is a safe bet.
All right. Well, we'll test that knowledge out a little bit later on. All right. It's House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, 877-213-4-LOU.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
I have icicles on my house. Does that mean I'm losing heat?
Helping homeowners from coast to coast.
Now, there's a product. It's called Roof Melt.
Those little discs that you throw up on the roof to melt the ice?
Yes, ma'am.
And he wants to help you.
I don't know if you've got a good hook shot, but how's your basketball game?
I'm 79, my hook shot probably isn't too good.
If you need help with your hook shot or anything else under your roof, Lou's standing by. Here he is now on House Smarts Radio. When this
old world started, you know, I was a grade school basketball player. And people are just too much. Yeah. And I was on the team in high school for 2 years, but I didn't play. I had a pretty good hook shot.
You would think I would, but I...
You would think... Well, right. What people don't know is Lindsay's very tall. And every time someone, she's a tall, smart, beautiful woman, and people say, oh my gosh, did you play basketball? Did you play volleyball? All the time. You should just go with it.
Well, funny, my roommate, and when we were in college, when people would ask me if that, and she, Brandy, you know Brandy.
Right.
My roommate, she does. She plays volleyball.
Yeah.
And then they would start a conversation, she would try to be funny, and then these people would start conversations with me, and I'd have to like.
Did you play up at the net? And you're like, okay, now I don't know what you're talking about. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Joe calling in this morning. Hey, Joe, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. I live in Joliet.
All right, how may I help you?
I live in Joliet. I have a home.
Joe, we're hearing you loud and clear, my friend.
Hello?
We're hearing you loud and clear.
I got a bad line or something.
Yeah, we hear you fine. So just go ahead and tell me your question.
I have a home in Joliet. And it's got a toilet and a sink upstairs. And down the main floor has got a full bath. The basement floor's got a shower and a toilet. And the toilet stopped draining, but the shower still works just fine.
So, in other words, when you flush the toilet, you're not getting any, it's not flushing at all. But when the shower and the vanity is fine.
We had a guy out, and he did the, Joliet put a clean out outside, and he did that one, and then he came downstairs, and he said he went in 30 feet, but then we had the city come out, and the guy put the camera down there, and he said that he was going around and around in a tank.
Mm-hmm. So you may have a you may have a catch basin maybe somewhere. You know, the issue with when you're rotting out and snaking, you're guessing in a lot of ways, right? Because you're following these pipes, and if there are obstructions or if you have a catch basin somewhere and it's going into a catch basin instead of following the sewer line, it doesn't surprise me that the shower would work because the volume of water is less. But has the plumber determined that you have no blockage in the house itself and they think it's a sewer issue that's blocked up?
No, the sewer is fine.
Sewer's fine.
We just had some roots that had to be cleaned out in the outside.
Okay.
But
and did the plumber put a camera to see? Did the plumber pull the toilet and put a camera in there or no?
We pulled the toilet, but the plumber didn't put a camera in. The city came out and put their camera
in.
Oh,
that's...
Said he was going around and around and couldn't find it.
And when the city, that's nice that the city offers that service. When they did that, did they find the blockage with the camera?
No, they couldn't find out where it went out to.
I see. So they just kept going, and they think that it's going to some... And to the best of your knowledge, do you have a catch basin anywhere in the yard or in the backyard where there's a manhole cover anywhere?
No manhole cover.
Okay. I mean, I'm just... When they're saying a tank, I'm not quite sure what that would mean, because a toilet typically doesn't go into a catch basin. So I'm not certain what that description is. I think that probably what you need to do now, not that you want to keep spending money, but you need a licensed plumber to come and with a camera and determine where the blockage is. And then from there, address what's going on. If the sewer line is fine, this has got to be some type of interior issue that needs to get resolved.
Yeah.
Right.
He said he did pulled a rag out of there and a pen and a nail.
Well, right, but you said it's still blocked.
Yeah.
So we still have a problem that has to get addressed. And I mean, if you trust this guy, have him come back and see if they can try again. But I think that with the advent of the technology with sewer cameras now, they should be starting with that, and determining exactly, yep, there it is, and because then they know exactly where they're going. And I would start with the camera, so you're not wasting money of a guy just shoving the rod down there and letting it, spin till the cows come home. Thanks so much for the phone call. I want to try and get another call in here before we take a break. This is Carolyn on Long Island. Hey, Carolyn, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Hi. Are you there?
I am. Good morning. Can you turn that radio down?
I'm going to start talking. I don't know if you're going to hear me. But
right. I really need you to turn that radio down because that's going to drive everybody crazy.
Oh, I'll turn it off.
Thank you.
I got it off.
There you go. Hi, good morning.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad to talk to you. I listen to you every Saturday.
Thank you.
I have a problem. I have had gotten my living room, dining room rugs done. I have wall-to-wall carpeting not too long ago. And yesterday I went to take detergent out of the kitchen in the container and take it downstairs to the laundry room and do some wash. And I didn't realize there was a little hole in it. So right across the kitchen and the living room is a streak of detergent, and I don't know what to do to get it out. I was told by a neighbor that I would have to call a company to do that, and I said, no, I don't want to spend a lot of money for that.
No. Do you have a nice big sponge and a bucket of water? Let's get some warm water and a big sponge. It's detergent, and so if you rinse it, the thing with laundry detergent is that it's very difficult to clean up because it holds on. That's why it does such a good job in the laundry. But if you take a nice bucket of warm water and just kind of wipe it away, blot it down first, and then wipe it away. It will dissolve and come up, and you may have to take a couple of passes at it, but the sooner you do that, the better. It's not going to discolor anything, and it should come right up, and of course, you'll have a wet streak, but then you put a fan on it or something, and by tomorrow, it should be dry.
Well, you just saved me about $200.
Well, then it's a good Saturday, right?
Oh, thank you very much. So just do what you say. I will try that, and I appreciate your taking my call.
You are welcome. I appreciate you listening. 877-2134-LOU is our phone number. This is Lyle calling in. Hey, Lyle, good morning. Hello, Lyle. Hello, Lyle. I hear
Hi, Lou.
You. Hi, good morning.
Morning. Hey, I got a question about my brick paver driveway.
Yes, sir.
There's oil on it.
Buff. How long has it been there?
A day.
Oh, okay. You know that lady that just called about the laundry detergent that she spilled on her carpeting? I want you to go spill some on your brick pavers and use some warm water and a scrub brush and work it into a froth. Let it sit there for 10, 15 minutes. Scrub it again and rinse it. Like right now.
Okay.
The longer you wait, the worse. But the laundry detergent, what was it, a motor oil or what kind of oil?
It's automobile oil.
Yeah, yeah. Laundry detergent, warm water, scrub brush, scrub it like crazy, let it sit there 10 minutes, scrub it again, rinse with the hose, you should be good to go.
Okay, thanks, Lou.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU. Let's see. No. Well, I'm sorry, what number did you tell me? Three. Oh, right. That's what you tell me in the middle numbers. Anyway, this is Matt calling in. Hey, Matt, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. You there?
Yes, sir. How may I help you?
Yes, sir. Got a place up north, garage-type building that sits on a concrete slab. And my last visit up there, noticed some black spotting. Not sure if it's mold or mildew on the concrete floor. And I'm just wondering how I could remedy that or clean that. I've heard you mention concrobium in the past.
Yeah.
Not sure how to remedy that.
This is inside, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, probably like Wet and Forget would be a great product to use outdoors. And an application like this, I would probably not use it because Wet and Forget likes it needs the outdoor elements to really make its way. They do make some interior products as well that are very good. But I would look at this concrobium. You can buy it in a gallon jug. You can put it on full strength with a scrub brush or a broom or something like that. Work it in there.
Yes, sir.
It will absorb into the concrete and it will attack the mildew or mold. And it may even kill the some of the staining for you as well. And it should do a nice job. And it's very safe to use. There's hardly any fume whatsoever with it. The company hates when I say this. You could drink it and it wouldn't hurt you. It tastes like you know what, but it's a safe product to use and it's very effective for mildew and mold.
And I think I'm going to eventually install some kind of a laminate floor or vinyl or something. And I just if this is going to be a continual problem, I'm not looking to do that. So
well,
I just want to make sure I can get this
right.
Correct
so,
before I would do something.
Yeah, so now you want to make sure that when you do all this, you know, that it's not absorbing moisture from other areas and coming back again. That if you solve it, you know, it's tough right now because it's been a pretty dry year. But, as things go along and humidity levels and, maybe even some more rain, really pay attention to what's going on before you go to that next round of covering it.
Yes, sir. How about just leaving? There's a couple weeks before, between visits up there. I mean, maybe just leaving a ceiling fan running and
for sure.
Dehumidifier running.
Absolutely. I mean, if it's a type of thing where you've got, you're helping the process if you seal the place up and there's no air movement whatsoever and the ambient temperature outside changes. And so any kind of airflow, if there's a ceiling fan, even that alone can make a world of difference. And, of course, if you have a dehumidifier running, that can help as well. The downside to dehumidifiers is they use, you know, even though there are very efficient ones out there, they do use a fair amount. It's like running an air conditioner backwards. And so it uses a lot of electricity. But if you want to control that mold and mildew and whatnot, that will absolutely help you in the process.
Hey, Lou, I appreciate the time, sir. I love the show.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you. Anytime. That's what we try to do here is help you whenever we can. All right, let's see if we can get one more call in here. This is Gloria calling in from the Bronx. Hey, Gloria, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Lou, my bathtub is stopped up. Could you tell me what I could put in there to free it?
Is it slowly draining? Is that what it's doing, or is it completely stopped?
I think it's completely stopped because when I took a shower, it took a long time for the water to go down.
Okay. Well, that's, hold on. As long as it's just draining a little bit, then I want you to use this product called InstaFlow. InstaFlow. Follow the instructions on the bottle. Pay very close attention to the instructions and follow them to a T. And I bet you'll get it at a hardware store or home center, and it will work, and it will unclog that tub for you. Appreciate the phone call. Hey, did I hear young Joe Brand doing news on Friday?
You did. With the help of Don Kleppen, a young Don Kleppen.
A young Don Kleppen? It's like you two are like the dynamic duo now.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that. Right? Which one of you is Batman and which one of you is Robin?
We switch.
We switch. I don't know if any of you are fans of Jack Black. Anyone?
Oh, he's a treasure.
Yeah, big fan.
You love Jack Black. Have you seen what he's doing on Instagram?
Not quite. I see him on TikTok a lot, though, too.
Is that what he... Well, maybe they're TikTok videos that then are on Instagram, because I'm not TikTok. But, like, where he's doing these unbelievable animated... Not animated, but, like, production things, what I appear in his backyard, like these funny things to just kind of make people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's pretending to be Thor. Have you seen all this?
Yeah, totally.
And he's in like bikini bottom bathing suit. And, you know, Jack Black is not the thinnest of men. But he wears it proud, and he looks like he's having a ball.
Yeah, it's hard not to smile when you're watching the videos.
It is hard not to smile. And so I guess they're TikTok videos. So maybe for anybody that's on TikTok or Instagram, it's really pretty funny.
I think he started doing it during quarantine. And you're right. It's always just so funny how comfortable he is in his body, and he has no shame whatsoever. And it's always diving in a pool. It's refreshing. It's fun. You know what's funny though is like Tenacious D was really big when I was in like grammar school and high school.
Sure.
And I was just browsing.
That was for those that don't know, Tenacious D was a duo,
two person band.
And they would do kind of heavy metal, right?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of parody songs, right. But you know, a few of them were really catchy. And I'm browsing on Instagram, and I see Jack Black, and I'm like, man, I haven't listened to Tenacious D in a while. And when I drove to the ballpark, I just put on a Tenacious D playlist on Spotify. And I don't know if you guys have ever dealt with this, but I hadn't heard a certain song in years, maybe 10 years. But I could remember all of the lyrics, and I was even thinking, like, while I'm singing it, I'm like, man, I have no idea. If you ask me what the next lyric is going to be, I couldn't tell you, but song, yes, I could just spurt it out.
Yeah, it's music, man.
I know, right?
It's awesome.
It's like triggered
awesome.
A part of your brain that you haven't
visited
in a while.
Tenacious D. Well, I think that, you know, I've mentioned this, the fact that we're big, the Manfredini family are big Jack Black fans. We were big fans of... School of Rock, you know, which is probably his quintessential that he's known for, but also Nacho Libre.
Right.
Yeah.
So we quote within the family like Nacho Libre lyrics all the time. Matter of fact, we had dinner last night. It was my wife's birthday, and I had my whole family together on a Friday night for dinner.
Wow.
And which was great. All our kids and my future daughter-in-law and significant others were there. We had a lovely, we actually went to this great Italian restaurant that we've frequented, hadn't been in a while, Paisano's in Richmond, Illinois. I highly recommend it. The food was fabulous and the service is great, but we were all there and a Nacho Libre quote came up at the dinner table and we all laughed. And, you know, I mean, I tell my kids, I go, if you find somebody and someday that you're like, you're dating, you know, and you're not quite sure if this person is for you, and they whip out a Nacho Libre quote just like in the thing, I go, marry them right then and there, because that's your true love.
That's right. A sign.
Yeah.
Jack Black, Tenacious D. I love it. 877-2134-LOU. 877-213-4568. Coming up later on this hour, I'm going to have a conversation with the folks over at Archidec and talk about building kind of your outdoor space and really what their business is all about, who they are, and the kinds of projects that they do. And I think you'll be... you'll be enlightened by the fact that they can kind of do all these different things and even provide an opportunity for you to phase the projects where, you know, you can allow your budget to be, you know, this can be expensive, right, doing this kind of work. And so big projects sometimes can be daunting. And I think that you may get to a point where you say, oh, it's just too expensive, I'm not going to do it. But imagine if you could phase that project and do it over a couple, 3 years, just like when I mentioned if you're, you know, going to do windows. You don't have to do them all at the same time, but you could do the same thing with your outdoors. So we'll have that conversation coming up a little bit later on. But right now, I want to talk to you. 877-2134-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Dave calling in from Tuxedo, New York. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. If you can, I have a couple quick questions.
Of course.
I'm in a condominium, and I topped off my driveway 2 inches, and they slanted it down to the edges. And I'm told here by my other people, when they come to clean the snow, they drop their plow, and they crack a lot of driveways and stuff like that. But is there a way for me to seal the edges a little to make it smoother so when the plow goes there, it doesn't hit the edge and lift it up?
So you said they put a 2-inch topper over what? Over concrete or over old asphalt?
Old asphalt. But, you know, on the edges, they kind of smooth it out as much as possible. But still, it's lifting up a little bit. So when they come from the other old driveways, mm-hmm. it's gonna they may hit it a little bit.
Well, okay, so the... For you, I don't know what you're going to do. I mean, the way to, when you're topping off like that 2 inches, it's almost, they typically should put some edging so that they have something solid for the new top coat to rest against. And so if they didn't do that edging, it's going to be really tough for you to do anything to try and keep that consistent. You know what I mean? They sell this metal edging. It's a heavy duty, you know, it's like a quarter inch piece of metal that is, I believe, 8 foot sections. And they would typically put that on the edge there and then hammer it into the ground with these metal spikes. So they have slots in the metal edging to hold it in place. And then they would put the asphalt up against that to create like a very flat, strong surface, so when they tamp it down or go over it with a roller, it gives you a nice solid crease and holds it there. Now, when did this work get done?
Oh, about 2 months ago, and they did cut the edges.
Okay, all right.
And the other driveways.
Okay, they cut the edges, you know, when they come with the snowplows are tough. They move the snow, but, you know, there's not anything that I can tell you, Dave, that you can do that's going to help preserve those edges other than maybe, you know, with the snowplow guys, have them not go, you know, leave 6 inches of snow on either side. That would be that would be the most help. I don't know how you would do that.
Yeah, right. It's not going to happen.
No. Okay. You had a second question?
Yeah, quick. I had the water testing for the area because my neighbor said something was wrong. Anyway, it said it had a lot of turbidity, which is a little dust and dirt and all around. They recommended a whole house filter. Does that make sense to you, too?
It does. Turbidity is one of the easiest things to filter out of the water. And If you have a dedicated, you're in a condo, so do you have your own dedicated water line for your unit?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so a plumber can come in right where the, you know, your main valve comes in and put in one of these canister type of water filters. Culligan, for the sake of argument, there's a bunch of different makers, but Culligan makes one. They put in this housing, and they'll put valves on either side of the housing in line, and typically on a horizontal line, and you screw this blue, it's typically a blue plastic canister, and there's a filter inside of it with a hole. And within the filters, you can buy different qualities of the microns that they filter out. So there's one that's just for light sediment, and then there's a mid one that will take care of the turbidity that you're talking about in the water. And it's the type of thing that you will pay attention to. That you may notice that when the filter becomes clogged, you lose a little bit of pressure. And then you'll just go and unscrew. You turn the valves off. You'll release the pressure inside the housing. You'll loosen this up. Have a couple filters on standby. You pop in a new one. You put a new in. You're done. It's it kind of reminds me of an old oil filter on an old truck. How they used to be, where they had the metal housing and the filter went inside there. But it does a really good job of filtering the water.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. You have a great show. Help everybody.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say, and I appreciate you calling this morning. That's how about we give our next caller a House Smarts radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling. Whether you're renovating a kitchen or a bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. And I think we're going to send that hat out to Nancy, who's out in Oak Lawn. Hi, Nancy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Good morning.
Good morning. How may I help you?
Well, I have a question about a refrigerator. I have an extra refrigerator in my basement. It's, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years old, maybe 10 years old. I can't even remember. It's cold, but it won't freeze anymore. So, and I'm wondering if it's worth fixing or so if I should replace it.
Wait, so it's a fridge on the bottom. Is it a freezer, all freezer, or is it a fridge and a freezer?
No, it's a refrigerator with a bottom freezer.
Okay. So there's, I bet what it is the fan, the blower fan on the freezer is broken. So the,
is that a separate fan from the refrigerator fan?
It is. And that's typical. You said it's 7 or 8 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think you could probably get that. You could have someone come out and do a diagnostic and fix it. And, you know, maybe you're all in for $200.
Okay. Can I just keep the refrigerator running without using the freezer?
You can.
I don't need the freezer.
If you don't need the freezer, I mean, what I would just do is turn the. You have a separate controller for the freezer temperature, right?
Yes. Yes.
So turn that all the way down, if not off.
Okay.
And then the fridge will keep running. So it shares the cooling, but you know, the way the two separate fans is the way the freezer works. The cooling temperature that the fridge produces is the same. It just forces more of it into the freezer to make it freeze.
Okay. All right, because my son-in-law took the back of it off, you know, opened it up, looked at the fan is running, and the refrigerator is nice and cold, but
there should be another fan.
Okay.
There should be two fans.
Okay. But it's not dangerous to use this.
No, no, no.
Just as a refrigerator.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. And can I run it off of a extension cord?
Well, if you are, it should be an appliance cord, which is, you know, an appliance cord is a thicker, it's a number 12 wire. Typically, it's a grounded plug.
Yes.
And they come up to, well, I think you can get them even 20 feet, but, you know, the typically 12 footers, and plug it into that. And that way you don't starve the motor of the current and electricity that you need.
Okay, great. Sounds good.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks very
much. Appreciate you listening and calling this morning, 877-213-4-LOU. This is Carol, who's in Chicago. Hi, Carol. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi. My question is, I was wondering, what to use. I had a drain backup in my basement, and I wondered what product to use to clean up the floor.
Is it, has the clog in the backup been fixed?
No, it was a floor drain, you know, from the sewer.
And did it back up because of heavy rain or whatnot?
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So is this a common occurrence, or is it just something that just happened?
It happens when there's heavy rain.
I see. Okay. And what is the floor that we're trying to clean?
One part is concrete floor, and the rest is tile.
Okay. So let's do, because we want to make sure that there's no, you know, mildew or mold, I think I'm going to have you do two different things on the cleaners. One is you can certainly clean it with warm water and like Pine Sol. The Pine Sol is a disinfectant, and that will definitely clean the floor and obviously make it smell nice, too. And you could mop that down there, and hopefully, you know, all that can go down the drain. And then when that's all done and it's dry, there's a product called Concrobium, which is a mildew and mold cleaner. And you can buy that in a quart bottle, in a spray bottle. And in the areas where you had the, you know, the backup and the water came up, just go ahead and spray a little bit of that. Let me be specific about this. Clean it with the Pine Sol, get it nice and clean, and let that dry. Okay, uh-huh. So maybe put a fan on there, even if you got to wait a day or so. Once it's dry, come back on it and spray the Concrobium right over all the surfaces to get into the nooks and crannies and the gaps that are there. It will keep the mildew and mold from coming back because it has residual value. Not that you have mildew and mold, but why not just, you know, hedge your bet and put it on there to protect yourself? It's not an expensive cleaner, and you should be good to go.
Okay, it sounds great. I don't need to rinse that off or anything?
The Concrobium, no. The Pine Sol, yes, but the Concrobium, no.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
You are so welcome. I appreciate you calling this morning here, House Smarts Radio, broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studio. When we come back after news, I'm going to have a conversation with my friends over at Arkadek and talk about outdoor living spaces and what they can do to transform those spaces from you, whether big or small. They can definitely help make a difference in how you enjoy your outdoor living space. Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini. Outdoor living has exploded, literally. I think that more and more of us are realizing that, you know, we live in these homes, we have these beautiful outdoor spaces, and we want to make them more enjoyable, more flexible, and we need some help with that. Joining me on the phone line right now is David Berryhill. He is the president and general manager of Arkadek. David, good morning, and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Good to talk to you.
Tell us all a little bit about Arkadek. I think that the WGN listeners know and have heard quite a bit of the commercials that you run here on the air, but I want to know a little bit more about the company and what it is you folks focus on.
So, thanks. Yeah, we started in 2004. My wife and I, Kristen and I, purchased a franchise. It's actually a franchise. It's been around since the early 80s. Not a big organization. Maybe right now about 60 architects around the country. But we started Arkadek of Chicagoland, originally just in the northern suburbs, Lake Cook and or Lake County and McHenry County. And there were other Arkadek offices in the rest of Chicago. But over the years, as the economy changed and opportunities changed, we had the opportunity to purchase the other territories and grow that business to the point where by 2012 we were serving the whole Chicagoland area. We have stayed away from the city, unfortunately, just because that's a little different beast, but someday we'll get there. And we've grown the business and built a tremendous team. We have two locations now, two design centers. Our main office is in Palatine. Our second one is in Naperville. We got 14 crews going today in carpentry and hardscape, five designers and a strong office staff to support them. And we focus on outdoor living, as you said, decks, screen porches, patios, sunrooms, pergolas, gazebos, so forth. One of our strengths is that combination of hardscape and carpentry that we've been doing for so long. So I always joke, we've done this long enough that we've made the dumb mistakes, but not so long that we're bored.
So. I love that. And I know that, you know, you and I have chatted before that really the demand for these kinds of living space outdoors has just exploded.
Yeah, it's been, ever since we got in the business, it's been a growing category. And it's one of the reasons I was excited about the opportunity. I had a background in manufacturing and sales and a little bit of construction. I'm not a carpenter, but I had done enough of my own remodeling work to have a clue. But it's been a great category, and a lot of people are excited about it. I'm passionate about it. I like the outdoors and just the whole design element. But in COVID times, it's really increased dramatically. People are at home, they're looking in their backyard and going, oh gosh, I want to spend more time with my family outside, right, and enjoy the nature. And it's really boomed.
So let's jump off there a little bit. Tell me some of the trends or the things that you're hearing most of that people are really interested in doing.
So the biggest trend, and that's been coming for years, but with the increases in lumber, it's even grown bigger this year, and that is more low maintenance, because low maintenance products have not seen the increase the way lumber has. Mm. So a low maintenance deck, the gap between that and a wood deck is much smaller. So we're doing a lot more low maintenance, which was already a growing trend because people are moving that direction. The other trend we see is people really looking for, you know, combination of spaces outdoors, thinking of it as, I want a living room, I want a dining room, I want a... And what does that mean? That means they might do an open porch with a deck or patio integrated into it and a fire pit somewhere off in the design, and they might do an outdoor kitchen. Now, we kind of coined the phrase Chicagoland outdoor kitchens because, you know, some of the stuff you see on Pinterest and all that they do in California and Texas that you're using 12 months out of the year, we found the Chicago residents don't always see the value in that because it's a lot of cost and you don't get a lot of use. But if you do a really nice grill integration, a bar integration, those things you get your value for. And so we do designs like that, and that's a real sexy, popular category that people want to see integrated into designs too.
I think that what's interesting about what you just said is, you know, people might get the impression that, oh, well, you know, they only do like these big, big jobs. But and you do some, as you just described, where you can create these different living spaces. But sometimes even a small addition to an outdoor living space can really make a difference, right?
Completely agree. And I don't want to give the wrong impression. One of the things that I've always felt was important at our office in this area, Chicagoland, is to do any size project. I mean, we do have a minimum. We're really not set up for jobs below, you know, a couple days worth of work.
Right.
Just the way our crews are structured. But I'm very happy to do, you know, a couple hundred square foot deck or patio. We treat every job the same. We believe firmly that every time we do a project like that, it adds to a homeowner's use, and it also adds to our business because... Right. We're able to connect with more people and work with them. So yeah, absolutely. And the majority of our jobs are more simple jobs. You know, they're not the crazy multifaceted, you know, integrate every concept you can have, because that's not the average homeowner's situation. Their yard just doesn't support that.
Well, and it seems to me too, when it comes to outdoor living spaces and construction there, it's definitely an area, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that you could phase, you know, from a budgetary standpoint. You know, maybe somebody wants that, oh my gosh, giant, you know, I want this space over here and this and that, but maybe they can't afford it. But if it's designed properly, it could be that, hey, this year we're going to do the deck, you know, that's going to lead into the patio that we'll do in a couple of years afterwards when, you know, the budget allows it. And if you were to phase that project over, you know, maybe a couple, 3 years from an affordability standpoint, that is something you could help people with, right?
Absolutely. And one of the things I'm most proud of is those customers that come back, which we're seeing a ton of them every year, and especially right now. And exactly, either up front, we design it with the different layers with the idea that year one, we're going to do this piece, year two, we're going to do that piece, year three, so forth. Or it's just they come back and say, now I want to add this. How do we integrate it? And one of our our strong philosophies for our designers is make it look like it was already there.
Right.
And so since we do that all day long anyway, it's pretty easy to integrate something in with the project we already built the first time and make it look like it blends.
I know we were getting ready to talk about this. You're very proud of the fact that you can work with, you know, just about any client to try and fulfill their needs when it comes to outdoor living spaces. That even lends itself to people that may have physical challenges outdoors and make spots accessible so that, you know, maybe someone that is somewhat confined indoors can also enjoy the outdoors as well.
Yeah, we've done several projects that the client or a family member had some physical limitations, and those are not only can be great designs, but then personally just fulfilling.
Yeah.
I might have shared, we did one years ago, a large sunroom project for a family that had a son who needed a lot of physical therapy and needed a endless swimming pool and a sauna, and it, literally that was part of his therapy. And we built this space that was really unique. But it's more than a project when you do that.
Right.
You're excited to help people out. You
That's
know?
Great. I love that. And I know that you folks at Arkadect can help out a lot of people, and it starts with great design. It starts with looking at your website, looking at some of the things that your past clients and customers have said, which, you know, is resoundingly positive. David, if people want to learn more about Arkadect and get a hold of you guys and possibly have a consultation about doing a project, how do they do that?
Well, the best thing to do is go to our website, arkadectofchicagoland.com. You're going to see tons of information, projects we've done, reviews, testimonials, just general information about different project types, and of course a way to contact us either by phone or email. So that's the best place to start, and we'd love to hear from you, and we work really hard to get back to you within 24 hours if you reach out.
David Berryhill is the president and general manager at Arkadect of Chicagoland. David, it's always nice to chat with you. Continued success, and thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you, Lou. Great talking to you.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini here with you, 749 in the morning, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Oh, a big shout out. You may have heard me mention this a while ago. The Waubonsie Community College Foundation's first walk, run, and fun 5K trail race. It's happening this morning at 9 a.m. Best of luck to all of the 242 participants this morning. And Waubonsie Community College is a terrific place, and they're out there doing good work and educating all of us for the future. So congratulations to them. 877-213-4LOU. This is Michael in LaGrange. Hey, Michael, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou, thanks for your help. I need a little help in making a decision on some concrete that's leading up to my front door.
Okay.
It comes off the driveway, which is concrete, and it's settled about a half inch, and there's a big gap in the first step up to the front door. So I've had a couple quotes come in for concrete lifting, and they're very expensive, and I wanted to get your opinion on that. Is that worth it?
Is the rest of the concrete in decent shape?
It's in very good shape.
Yeah. So, and did you get one of the quotes from the folks at PermaSeal?
I surely did.
Yeah. So the poly level, I will tell you that the poly level, you know, and there's multiple people that do that poly level as well, is the better way to go than traditional mud jacking. So,
so
if you're getting quotes from other people that are, oh, we're going to do the traditional mud jacking, just adds too much weight to the whole system and to the whole ground area. And while I realize maybe it's a little bit more expensive than you think, it's way cheaper than replacing the concrete. And in particular, if the rest of it's in good shape and it's the type of thing like, man, if I could just lift this up, oh, it would look great, you know, then it's definitely worth the investment, in my opinion.
Well, good, because it's got a 5-year warranty.
Yeah.
It sinks like a quarter inch.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I got to tell you, I've been on a couple projects where they've done it, and I've been on many projects where traditional mud jacking was done, and I mean, that does work, but you don't get the kind, you have to put so much more material underground to get it to lift that this, you know, this technology where they've utilized this polyurethane to work the same way, it just works better.
Yeah. And plus, new concrete would make my driveway old. It wouldn't match. It would make it
right,
old.
Right. And so the aesthetics of it, absolutely. When they're done, you probably wouldn't even, unless you pointed it out to people, they wouldn't even notice.
Okay. Yeah, it's supposed to have like a 5/8-inch drill hole. So.
Right.
Okay, great. Just want to get your opinion because you are the man.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. I am a man. So anyway, I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Patricia in Chicago. Hi, Patricia. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou.
How may I help you?
I have maybe another refrigerator question.
Okay.
My refrigerator is probably 20 years old. And it still keeps the temperature. The needle on the little refrigerator thermometer is right at freezing and regular. Okay. And it's, like I said, the coldness is fine. But now I've noticed that there's water coming maybe into the floor a little bit, and there's water inside the refrigerator.
Well, so, I mean, there's a bunch of things that could be going on. You know, there is a collection pan under the coils on a, I mean, it depends on the manufacturer, but the back panel of the fridge inside the fridge more than likely comes off, and that's where you'll expose the cooling coils. And there's typically a drip pan that is under those coils that collects the water and then goes to the evaporative pan under the fridge. Sometimes that hose can get clogged, especially in a fridge that's 20 years old. You know, a lot of stuff circulates inside there.
Absolutely.
And so when that happens, then you can get that dripping inside the fridge and then ultimately even a little bit dripping outside. So can it be repaired? Sure. You know, you probably have to have someone come out and take a look at it and take it all apart, and you may spend a couple $100 fixing the problem. Okay.
Okay.
A 20-year-old fridge.
Right. You know, I'm at the point that we might be moving, selling the house next year.
Right. Is this your main? Is this your main? Is this your main refrigerator?
It's a refrigerator that's upstairs. In like a second level of the house.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
the freezer is on top.
Yeah, that's just a decision for you to make to find out, hey, do I spend a couple hundred bucks to get it fixed, or do I... Go ahead.
Do you have somebody that I could call?
Well, I mean, I have been a customer for 30 years, both for houses that I built and personally with Apt Appliance. And they do all of my service, even on the, you know, I have rental properties that I own and manage, and they do all the service. And for the past 30 plus years, they've done it all. So if you call them with the model number and the serial number of what you have, they can schedule what typically will be happening. They'll come out, they'll figure out what the problem is. They'll say, and there's a service fee for that. And then if they'll come back and order the parts and then put the parts in, that's included in the service fee. And they work on all major models and can help you out, you know, for sure on that. So I'd give them a call. Thanks so much for the phone call. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. Joe Brand has somebody that is in love with somebody today. Is that right, Joe?
Yeah, that's how I'd categorize it. I know somebody who's in love with
somebody. Isn't that true?
Yes. And that other person loves the other person back, too.
Then it's a match made in heaven. What's going on?
My best good friends, Michael Van Boldrick and Jacqueline Lang, are being wed tonight on the
Michael
South
Van Boldrick is getting married? You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, I did. You know what's funny is we talked about this last year because he got married last year, too.
He liked it so much he did it twice?
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, it's the same person that they're getting married to each other once again. But no, we had a you know, one of those socially distanced weddings for them last year, and it was one of the funnest weddings I've ever been to. It was just a backyard with like 20 people, and we had a real fun time.
And so this is
the party that was
not supposed to happen? The party that was supposed to happen.
Yes. Tonight will be the party that was supposed to happen last year. So now,
is this the one you had the bachelor party for where you went in costume via Zoom?
Yes. You guys know way too much about my social life. Yes, that was. Yes. Mm. When also during quarantine, during the facial hair and long hair experiment, and yes.
Will you be clean shaven for this wedding?
I'm still rocking a mustache right now. So I think I'm going to keep that. The bride didn't say anything at the rehearsal dinner, and her dad actually was very fond of it. So I think in honor of him, I'm gonna keep it.
So
yeah.
You got like a Ron Burgundy look going.
Sure. Hey, yeah, we'll go with that.
I like facial hair on men.
I know you do.
You had it this week. I saw you.
From my fishing trip, I had facial hair, and my wife said, if you have any chance of giving me a kiss, the facial hair has to come off.
Oh, wow.
Right. So, I mean.
So you haven't kissed your wife in a while?
No. But I was like, I'll go shave right now. You know, what am I going to tell you? 8772. Well, congratulations to the bride and groom. That's awesome.
Thanks. Thanks.
Tonight.
Thanks for letting me give them a
love
shout out.
Love always wins. We love to share the love. That's not. It's a good thing. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is Janet in Western Springs. Hi, Janet. You're on House Martz Radio.
Hey, is this Lou?
It is. Good morning. How may I help you?
Oh, I hope you can. I have to say, first of all, though, 43 years of home ownership, every time I listen to you and I'm writing things down, I learn something every time I talk.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say.
Yeah. I have a situation, doesn't have to be done yesterday, but I live in Western Springs, and I'm in the middle of two other neighbors. We all share a fence, 6-foot red cedar. It goes along the north side of an alley that sometimes gets kind of wet, and we do get rotted wood on some. It's a 25-year-old fence. We all want to change it to the same thing. My great-grandfather was a concrete guy, and I'm concerned more, not so much the design, but the actual findings and the actual way of putting it in. So two of the fences are going to be put on existing fence areas, and I don't know if a contractor would just take down the wood, and I'm concerned about how should that be installed?
Okay, so we've got a 25-year-old fence that the whole thing, the posts and everything, are 25 years old, correct?
Yes, they're very sad. Yeah.
All right, and you want to change? Do you want to try and change the fence to some type of lower maintenance, like a vinyl fence or something that will hold up a little better in the weather?
Well, actually, my neighbors and I, we like the wood fence, but we're open to suggestions.
Well, yes. I mean, look, I like a wood fence as well. But the reality of it is a wood fence will require more maintenance than, say, a vinyl. Now, vinyl fencing, certainly, you know, most people think, oh, it's a white vinyl fence, which can be pretty. And, you know, they even make privacy versions of it. But they do also make one in a kind of a brownish tan color. You know, it does not look like wood. So I in no way want you to think that. But if white is not something that you're necessarily thrilled with, then you know, these vinyl fences do come in different colors. Some do have a wood appearance to them and can hold up really well, in particular if you get a lot of water or splashing and things like that. Now, the posts will typically be in a vinyl fence. What they do is they sink a metal frame into concrete, and then they slide the vinyl like a wrap over the top of it. And that's what the fence panels then ultimately get attached to. So you have this very sturdy galvanized metal that's in the concrete. Mm-hmm. So it's very sturdy, and it supports, you know, the fencing up above. It costs more,
than a traditional wood fence. So that certainly has to go into the equation for the whole process. But long term, you know, oh God, 20, probably 30 years ago, a home that we used to live in, we put a vinyl fence in, and it's still there. And I drove by that house not too long ago, and it's still, it's a white fence. It was a white four rail fence, and it's still there, and it still looks great.
And it's, and with it's, that, do they also allow? I know my one neighbor just he's just got a dog, and he wants a couple of gates.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah,
I'm sure they can put 100% like that.
Anything you can do with a regular fence, you can do with this. You know what? So you're in Western Springs.
Correct.
It's a little bit of a drive, but not too bad. In Alsip is Fox Home Center.
Okay.
Fox Home Center does a really good fencing business, a robust fencing business. That's the second time I've said the word robust today. it's my word of the day. The word of the day is robust. You go there and look at their fences because they can help you make some decisions and talk to you about some of the choices. They do, I believe, both wood and vinyl there, so it's kind of a one-stop shop for you.
Wonderful.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. I finally, I can write this down and go forward, and I'll do my homework. Thank you so much, Lou.
Janet, thank you so much for calling. I really do appreciate it. It's 8:17 in the morning. This is Peggy in Naperville. Hi, Peggy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. I've got a question about eliminating the ice dam I had last year.
Okay.
I know there are a couple of things I've been told. Perhaps those heat coils you put on your roof.
Yep.
The other one is some type of a heat wire
You
put through your gutter.
Right.
What would be the best solution?
Well, I mean, there's no silver bullet on all this because it does matter. It really has something. You need to determine where the ice dams are coming and why. So is it a question of a valley? Is it an area where, you know, two roofs meet in a corner, you know, that create that valley that can cause that? Is it a gutter system maybe that the downspouts aren't big enough? There's a little bit more involved as to what's the best thing to do because there are different applications for all. Now, you're in Naperville.
Right.
You know, Rogers Roofing, who's a sponsor here, they do, you know, obviously a really good job on roofs, and, they also can talk to you about steps you can take to eliminate these ice dams. Now, keep in mind as well, part of that equation may be added insulation in the attic space. Now, do you have a unfinished attic in the home?
Unfinished. Well, the attic is not over this extension. It's like a sunroom.
I see.
And although it was built at the time the house was, it has a lower pitch, or a higher pitch, I guess, to the roof. And to me, that's always been the problem. We did install wider gutters. They were like 4-inch. And the downspout as well.
Right.
But that almost gave it more water to collect and
I would contact you know, a roofing contractor, and Rogers would certainly be one to contact. We also have another sponsor, Lindholm Roofing. They also do very good work, and you could get a couple of different estimates, but they need to take a look and see what's going on to suggest what the better application is if you want to try and install some exterior heating system, which I'm all for, right? I have no problem with it. I just want to make sure that you're getting the right information so that it's determined exactly where this is occurring, and I think this will work best for you, and so it gets installed properly.
Okay, I'll try that.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU. Let's talk with Laura, who is in Chicago. Hi, Laura. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou.
Ooh, get right in that phone. You're really low.
Hey, I'm an elderly woman.
There you go.
I'm an elderly woman, and I need help in cleaning and that. And I was wondering if there was a company that does the woodworking and windows and assemble all those things that you buy that need assembling, and just do, you know, check the appliances and things like that.
Well, I mean, I think that... You kind of did a wide swath of what you need done. I mean, if it's things like assembly and woodwork and that kind of stuff, probably like a handyman service would be the most logical step to take. I think for appliances, if you're looking for someone to check that, you'll probably have to go separately with an appliance repair service to take a look at that. There's a brand new, my friends over at Ace Hardware just are now in the handyman service, and it's called Ace Handyman Service. That is a national program, and you're in Chicago, Laura?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that if you were, and are you online at all, or is anybody online that could get online for you?
Probably.
Okay, so if you go to acehardware.com, you will find a link there to their service, and you can see if they're working in your area. And that would be someone, I mean, other than the appliances, I don't know that they're going to be able to help you with the appliances, but they absolutely could help you with all the other stuff. And they'll do a really nice job, and you know you're working with... You know, a larger company that will back it up, not just somebody driving around in a truck. Mary.
Okay, and they can put like assemble things too, or
absolutely, yeah. You would talk to them, and I believe that they come out and you could either tell them what you have, or they may actually come out and provide you with an estimate depending on the work that has to be done, and you know they charge a fair fee for. I had a chance to work with a couple of their handy people that work for them, and they do a really nice job. They're very thorough.
Okay, and an earlier caller, you told them that you use Apt to service
appliances. That
even if I didn't buy the appliance from Apt?
Absolutely. They will service any appliance. It's a whole separate, not a separate, well, it's a separate business unit of their company, but... Even if you did not buy it from them, they will provide service for it.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And you have great music while I'm waiting here.
Well, that's great. That's good. At least we keep you entertained while you're on hold, right?
Okie doke, Lou. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you so much for calling as well. I do appreciate that as well. So I alluded to the fact that, and I do want to mention this as a personal note, that I was on a fishing trip this week. You have heard me on this radio show talk about my dear friend Mike Jakubowski. And so he and I took off on after last week's show. I have a little fishing boat, and he and I went way up north to... Wisconsin, and it is absolutely beautiful. About 4 hours, north of the Cheddar Curtain, maybe 5 hours north, and we spent 4 days fishing a bunch of different lakes, just the two of us, and had an absolute ball. First of all, we caught a lot of fish, which was really a lot of fun. And but what was most special about it, and I just pose this to you as if you have someone. I've known Mike Jakubowski since I was 17 years old, and he is my closest and dearest friend. And my family's joking about it because I kept sending pictures. My wife was like, "It was like you two were on your honeymoon." But I will tell you that it was to have a friend like that, and maybe you have someone like this in your life. If you have an opportunity to go spend a couple days, just the two of you, whatever it is, whether it's a fishing trip or any kind of trip where you can get away and just spend time with each other, and you talk about your entire, we're men in our late 50s now, and so we've experienced quite a bit in life, and raising our kids together, and our families are so intertwined. My kids are like his kids, and his kids are like mine, and they all, you know, love each other to death. And to have someone like that in your life and to be able to share that with, just a few days away, if you have that opportunity, take it, because as we all know, life is precious, and getting those moments together and just to, you know, kind of, I guess, bask in the glow of the life that you've had as friends and just share those stories with each other, it was great. We never ran out of anything to talk about, and I'm pretty sure we solved maybe 25% of the world's problems. We don't think any of it will work, but in our minds, this is all you needed to do. So it was a great trip. I posted some pictures on my Facebook page just because it was so beautiful where we were, and I also wanted to prove that we caught some whoppers of some fish. It was great. All right. When we come back, a Noodaloo 2. This is an interesting one. If you've got a child or a grandchild that's young, and they were like, Mom, I want a phone, but you're not quite ready to give them a phone, but you still want to be able to communicate with them because these kids are all going in different directions, you're going to want to stay tuned for this Noodaloo 2. Welcome back, House Smarts Radio. It's time for our Noodaloo 2, which is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. When you need a new ride, you need a new Chevy. That is for sure. Now, this one is a good one that Lindsay found, and this is probably more so, right, Lindsay, that for you with little girls when my kids were little, you know, cell phones were out there, but they weren't as prevalent as they are now. And I know that a lot of the kids, they're like, I want a phone. And your kids are how? I mean, your girls are young.
I mean, 8 and 5, and they are all, well, the 8-year-old mainly is begs. So we actually were sent this product like 2 years ago, and I just didn't connect with it. Like, we just didn't have any, it just wasn't really, I didn't get it. But I was kind of going through my box of Noodaloo 2 stuff, and I found it, and I said, oh, let's see if it still works and if it connects. And since, you know, because now my daughter is begging for this phone, but of course she's not going to get one because she's 8. And then she doesn't need any more screen time.
Right,
or who is
right.
she to call? But this is perfect for that. And it works, and she loves it. She thinks it's pretty cool. And I don't know. So we gave it a shot. If you've been debating whether or not to give your child a cell phone and are reluctant because of the cost or worried about screen time, this week's Noodaloo 2 might interest you. It's called Relay Go, and it's a little device that's not a phone, but it can kind of act like a phone without being a phone. The way it works is quite simple, really. It's about the size of a hockey puck, but square and sliced in half, so thinner. There's one big button to push right in the middle to deliver a message, just like a walkie-talkie. You press and hold while you talk and then let go when you're done. The Relay app for smartphones works the same way, which is what I have on my phone and is my way to communicate with my daughter. If she needs to reach me, she records a little message and I'll get a push notification on my phone that says I have a message waiting from her. Then I can pick it up and talk to her live and get that live conversation going in real time. And if they don't have the Relay next to them, when you try to contact them initially, a little light will blink to let them know that there is a message waiting for them to play. There's really not much more to it. It's definitely built for simplicity. You do have to pay the $9.99 monthly fee so that it connects the Relay to both 4G and Wi-Fi, but then you can get a hold of them anywhere and vice versa. A couple other things I really like is that there's a built-in GPS tracker. It also has geofencing, which lets you set up your safe zone so that if that Relay leaves or enters, you'll get a notification on your phone. It also has an SOS feature that will send out an alert in case of emergency. One device goes for $49, and then of course there's the $9.99 monthly subscription fee. But compared to the Gizmo Watch, which is another popular communication gadget that isn't a phone for younger kids who aren't really ready for a phone, it's a better deal. Find out more information about the Relay Go on HouseSmartsRadio.com.
That's this week's Noodaloo 2. I think it's great. That's a no-brainer. $50 for the...
It works, 50 bucks.
How is the clarity when you're like talking back and forth.
It's fine. I can, you know, it's just they can leave messages for me and then I can pick it up on my phone. So I'll get like a little push notification that says, you know, Blue. I think there are, you can probably name them.
I love the fact that it has the geofencing where you can, and tracker, so you know where they're at too.
My only issue with it that I've had experienced a couple times is that they need to put like some sort of a lock on that center button, because Sadie or my daughter would like throw it into her backpack or whatever,
and the button,
and it would
hits.
Button, and then I would get this notification on my phone.
It would seem like it'd be an easy thing that they could come up with, like a like a compact where it would open and you could push the button.
Yeah.
That's it. That's not hard at all.
It's the only thing. But other than that, it's kind of cool. And she thinks it's cool, too. So that's key.
Is it like a puck that you hold in your hand, or does it have a ring you can put your finger on the back side of it? No.
Ooh, the ring would be great, too. But no, it's just like a puck.
All right. So two suggestions for the people. What's it called?
The Relay Go.
Okay. Relay Go, people, if you're listening, we'd like a cover on the button. And we'd like a little ring that you flip out. So the cover on the button can flip out. And the ring on the back. So if you're holding it in the palm of your hand and you're running, Mom!
They did send like a little case that it could go into with a keychain, so it could clip to a bag, which is okay. I mean,
yeah. Okay. All right. We like it. Go to HouseSmartsRadio.com if you'd like more information on that. That's a good one. Thanks for bringing that to us. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. This is Mary, who's in Cary. Mary, you're in Cary. Did you know that?
Yes, I'm very sing-songy.
You are. How may I help you this morning?
I hope you can, and thank you for taking my call. This has been an ongoing problem. I have a three-season room, and it was built by a company that, of course, has gone out of business. And the problem I'm having is the door latch. I can lock the door, but it won't latch any longer. And there was a day where I heard a clink, 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 and something seemed to fall inside the door.
Oh, no.
This
is a specialty door. It's not just a swinging door with a knob.
Right, right. Mm. And so I've had a locksmith out for $100. He told me he couldn't help me. I've called another locksmith, and they were very nice, but I can't find any brand names on the paperwork. And I've searched all over the door and the lock, no brand names. I drove to Arlington Heights to another company that builds three-season rooms. They couldn't help me. And I guess my question is, can you just tell me who I might be able to call to help get this fixed? I finally went to Target, and I bought some Velcro because I thought, darn it, I'll just Velcro the darn thing shut when I'm going outside.
Was it Velcro by Joanna Gaines? I know that she's all over Target.
Generic. So I don't even know who to call. I'd be willing to even buy a new door if I could find one. I just want this darn thing to latch.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not going to be able to do you any better than a locksmith who's seen way more locks than me. But the one other place that you could try is, and I think they moved. But there's a company called Blaine Window and Door Supply, B-L-A-I-N-E. And they used to be in Stone Park, and I think maybe they moved. I'm not 100% certain.
Okay.
But I know they have an online presence, and their claim to fame is if they can't find you the part for your door, then you don't need it. And maybe, just maybe, if you had pictures of it or, you know, some, you know, a semblance of what this hardware may look like, they may have it. Now, that doesn't help you get it installed, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. With a lot of these three-season room companies, they had proprietary stuff. They made their own stuff many times. And if the company's gone out of business, you might be in a difficult spot to get it, you know, to get it fixed up. But I would try Blaine. Lindsay, can you see if Blaine Window Supply? Oh, you did already. Yeah, here's the number. 708.
Thank you.
She's so good. 708-343-8800.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, it's, you know what? It might be a step up from Velcro. So it, I really appreciate
it. It might. And you can
time.
Always you can always do the Velcro by Joanna Gaines, too. Then it'll look prettier. Right?
Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate
you
it.
You got it. I appreciate you calling as well. This is Dora, who's in Addison. Hi, Dora. When you're close.
Hi, how are you, Lou?
I am doing great. What may I help you with this morning?
Well, I always listen to you every morning when I wake up because Saturday's my day to sleep in.
Thank you. I so appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I enjoy your program very much. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do. So I'm not a jack of all trades, but I said I better call somebody who knows and maybe can give me some tips here.
Okay.
It's just me and my son. I have a 16-year-old, but he's kind of stronger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started a little project that I'm beginning to kick myself in the head for starting it.
Uh-oh.
I have no clue what I'm doing, but I'm just getting frustrated of seeing weeds and weeds keep growing. So I have a side to my garage. I have many years ago, my husband put some rocks, you know, but the weeds keep growing. So I said the other day I was determined. I pulled all the weeds out, but I said maybe I need to remove all these rocks and redo the plastic that's on the bottom. So I started digging up all these rocks, but it's a never-ending story.
Right. Maybe instead of digging up all those rocks, and if you're pretty certain that there's some plastic underneath there, just leave it for now. And let's go and let's try and use a weed killer that is a little less harmful on the chemicals, but is super effective. There's a company called Harris. H-A-R-R-I-S, and they make a 20% vinegar weed killer that you can buy in a gallon jug, and you could put it into a pump sprayer and then spray all the rocks with this. Now, is there any other vegetation around there in the rocks? Like, are there bushes or anything like that?
No, it's just my neighbor's wooden picket fence.
Okay. All right. So then take this vinegar. I mean, and it smells like vinegar. I mean, you're really going to know that it's a vinegar-based weed killer. I started to, I tested this out. Actually, I used it for something I did for the, I did a spot for the Today Show, and they wanted some eco-friendly solutions. And I had used other products, but not this Harris product. And I tested it myself, and it killed the weeds overnight. It really did a nice job. And it's less harmful than some of the stronger chemicals that are out there. Now, it's the type of thing, Dora, that you may have to repeat maybe once a month, but you will keep the weeds at bay, and it'd be a lot easier than trying to dig up all those rocks.
Well, let me just tell you this. Unfortunately, I've already, you know, I got a neighbor to let me use his wheelbarrow, so now we're putting all the rocks in the wheelbarrow, but I've already dug up like half of it. So.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so if you've already dug it all up, then you're going to put, or at least half of it, then you're going to get not plastic, but landscape fabric.
That's exactly what I just bought. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And you're going to overlap that. So you're going to put it along the, if I think you said there's a garage there and a fence, and then overlap it 6 inches so that the light doesn't get to it. Then you can put the rocks back over the top of that. And if you want to pre-treat it with like a preen weed killer or something like that, you could. That's not going to last forever, but it'll certainly last for a while. And then, you know, an occasional weed may pop up through that fabric, and then you can either pull it or spray that. But the key with the landscape fabric is it has to lie flat. You need to overlap, you know, if there's more than, you know, I believe it's about 30 inches or 24 inches long as a roll. So if it's more than that, make sure it overlaps at least 6 inches, and then put the rocks over the top of that.
Correct. Oh, okay. Well, I hope this is this solves it, but it's just I just have weeds everywhere. Back of my picket fence, there's weeds just growing and growing. It's like, do they never just stop?
Well, I mean, if you have an area where it's grass and then weeds are coming, then what you may want to try and do is change the pH level of the soil. I gave this advice to someone earlier this morning in the 6 o'clock hour. There's a product called,
I heard it this morning.
There's a product called Magic Cal. Did you hear that from Jonathan Green?
Yes, sir. And I wrote it down, and it
be my next question, that if I can use that, or was that just for the ivy? That was going to be my question too.
That's for changing the pH in a soil no matter what. And so weeds tend to like acidic soil, and ivy does as well. And so if you change that pH to a balance, which is, I think, 7.2, then and you don't need to be that precise. Just put it down, and you'll see results probably in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I need to put this, because in back of my house, I have a pond.
Right.
And they, you know, the thing comes and they do the landscaping, but they don't come all the way up, which is their part. They think it's mine, but mine is just up to the picket fence.
Right.
So the weeds growing there, so I need to put something right around it that the weeds growing and growing.
Try this magic. Perfect. Try this Magi-Cal product, and then the landscape fabric that we talked about, and then really, I do like this. This Harris product, it's really, really good. I think you'll be happy with that. Thanks so much for the phone call. Nick is calling in from Villa Park. Nick, good morning.
Hey, Lou. I am not a first-time caller, and I am a long-time listener.
You're a good man, Nick. You are my wait, I'm going to say it for the third time. You're my most robust listener today.
Awesome. Well,
What's going on?
The guys at work, it's always a running joke because they talk about the show and we see you in the morning and they're like, oh, there's your buddy on TV.
That's very nice. I'm your buddy. I like that. Nick, what's going on?
I got a question about AC units. Have you noticed with the dramatic price increase of building material, have you noticed increases in AC units? I have a 25-year unit. I'm thinking about replacing it this year, but... On the flip side, I'm like, should I wait another year to see if
you know what I have noticed is there has been a little bit of a raw material, you know, because so much of it is made with metal and steel and electronics. But what I have noticed is that the manufacturers are offering rebates to kind of offset it a little bit. So it's this weird.
Oh, okay.
It's this weird, like, you know, these huge companies, they set up all these budgets, right? And so maybe, you know, you buy a new furnace and they say, oh, if you get this furnace, whatever, you know, I'm going to make up a number, $5,000. And we're going to give you a $300 Visa gift card from the manufacturer, okay. Right? And so they're just playing around with the numbers. In the end, you end up getting a good deal. And you know, the other thing, too, you said you got a 25-year-old system, right?
Yeah, and I got one more part to that. I was thinking of moving it probably like 10 feet around the corner of the house.
Yeah.
But how important is that to make sure it's under soffit and not exposed to the element?
Right. And so by the time you know, if you're thinking about removing, I'll give an example. I talked about this earlier that the folks at Dykstra went and put in a new system, furnace and air, at my our son's house and his fiance's house. And, you know, one of the options would have been to just replace the air conditioner, you know, and do the furnace. But the furnace was 2006. And the labor to do all of that, you know, yeah, sure, they could have done it. But the labor to do all that, because you basically have to take the old furnace out to be able to put this in, would be as much as replacing the whole thing, and then you have modern equipment. And so I think that you can still get really good pricing, and the money saved on the energy between a 25-year-old system and what they're putting in now is monumental.
Okay. All right. Yep. All right. Well, that's what I need to know.
You got it. Nick, I appreciate you calling and listening, and that's very kind of you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. You take care. Bye-bye. 877-2134-LOU. This is Joanne in Deer Park. Hi, Joanne. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Quick question. I want to replace the lights in the front of the house, you know, by the side, by our front door and by the garage.
Okay.
The ones we have are totally enclosed. I noticed they have ones that are open on the bottom. I guess they're easy to change the light bulb.
Sure.
And can you recommend which type is better and maybe a good brand? Because these have lasted. We've been in the house for 25 years. I've never had a single problem with them.
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of manufacturers of light fixtures. There's a bunch of cheap stuff out there, too. Two such manufacturers that I really like. One is called Kichler, and the other one is called Light O'Lear. And then within within those, you know, brands, there's a just a whole bunch of different styles out there. And if you let me ask you this: are the outside lights on a timer or on a switch?
They're on a timer.
Okay.
Well, the ones by the front are on a timer. The ones by the garage are on a switch.
And are they on a mechanical timer, or is it like an in... the reason I say that is that you switch to LED lights, and you probably never change the light bulbs again.
Okay.
Right. And then...
Okay.
You know, and just get, you know, decent light bulbs to go in the fixtures, and you'll be good to go. But those two brands are very good. Sometimes you got to go to nicer stores to find that, as opposed to you might not see that at the big box. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you went online and looked up those two brands, you could find dealers in the area. Some big boxes may carry it, but their selection may have one or two of them. You get on their online mm-hmm. catalog and you'll be, you know, like, oh my gosh, look at how nice this is. And, you know, there's, where are you? You're in Deer Park.
Up north, Palatown, Barrington area, yeah.
How far from LaGrange?
Oh, that's way south, 'cause I'm way up north.
So Hortons of LaGrange is like this amazing lighting store, and it would almost be worth the drive and take a look at that. But if you've got a lighting store up by you, you know, that's another place too, and I think that's where you're going to find a really nice selection of this stuff.
And do you think the fact that some of them are open on the bottom, does that... I'm just thinking about wind and snow and everything. Mm-hmm. Am I better off getting a totally enclosed one?
No, I mean, it depends on the... It really is more of the aesthetic thing. It doesn't bother me with the open. The one thing that when you're open on the bottom, you sometimes, you know, you might get a little more spider webs or something like that, you know, that you may have to clean off with a broom. But, you know, look, get the lights that you want that look really nice. I'm telling you... Upgrading your light fixtures, especially the exterior ones, when you find the ones that you really like, make a huge difference. And I'm a big fan of having that be part of the design and the look of your house. And it's a simple upgrade. I mean, I don't know if you're going to do this yourself or have someone do it, but changing out a light fixture is not a difficult task. And the results, when you pick the right one, are really spectacular.
Great. Thanks for your help.
Oh, I appreciate you calling. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Paula in Elmhurst. Hi, Paula. You're on House Smarts Radio.
I think I'll just hang up anyway.
Hi, Paula. Don't hang up. Paula, don't hang up. Don't hang up, Paula. We're coming to you right now. How may I help you, dear?
I just wanted to give a shout out to you. First of all, and to Repipe Specialist and Ray's Plumbing. Fabulous suggestion. We have in 1988, we converted the 1920s Cape Cod into a colonial.
Right.
And we had some galvanized pipes remaining, but it was a mystery. We didn't know where they were, but somewhere we were getting no outside water pressure.
Okay.
So Ray's Plumbing sent out Kim and Tim, a husband-wife team. They were so awesome. They were friendly, explained everything, solved the puzzle. They had to go through vertical and horizontal plumbing. And as Tim is replacing, taping, and mudding the plaster and drywall holes, his wife is right there following him with a shop vac. I mean,
wow. They were unbelievable. That's so nice. That's so nice of you to take the time to do that, because I think that so many times the only thing we ever hear when something goes wrong, everybody's always quick to tell everybody what's going wrong. But it's nice to take the time and tell people that you had a positive experience.
Well, I was a teacher for 35 years, so I know exactly what you're talking about, getting the positive comments.
Oh, good for you.
And I can't say enough about it. They said they'd turn the water off in one day. Exactly what they said they do. They covered everything with tarps. And we had the city out from Elmhurst, and they said, oh, well, you have adequate water pressure. But the guy wrote on the that my outside water pressure was pathetic. So they solved it, and the guy thought I was nuts. I could get about 4 inches on an oscillating sprinkler. And as they were leaving, they were watching me. I got about 17 feet, and I was doing a little dance.
Wow. There you go.
But thank you so much for recommending them. It was a perfect fix and A plus.
Awesome. That's very kind of you to call. Thank you so much, Paula. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Peggy in Downers Grove. Hi, Peggy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello, Lou. It's delightful talking to you.
How may I help you, dear?
On May 29th, I think, on your show, I was driving, and I heard you talk about a tankless electric hot water heater. I think you called it T-tankless. My plumber doesn't want anything to do with tankless electric hot water heaters. I want it because it solves the venting problem
right.
of a gas tankless.
Right.
So, Lou, can you give me more information about this T-tankless electric?
You were so close, Peggy. It's true tankless. It does start with a T. But it's T-R-U, tankless,
mm-hmm.
and yes. And it is the place that I first found this was I was at the International Home Builders Association show out in Las Vegas, probably about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe more than that now.
Okay,
and they were just introducing this technology, and true tankless. They had a different system set up. They only make electric. I believe that's true. They only make electric. And what's different about their system, it's a small wall-mounted unit that has a series of electric heaters in line. And so it's almost like a layered effect of heating the water. I would say that the unit is probably, if I took two cookie sheets and I put them next to each other on a countertop, it's about that big, and it's probably as thick as a loaf of bread. And it hangs on the wall, and the water goes in cold, and the water comes out hot. And depending on how many fixtures you want to accommodate, then it's a modular system. So they may say, well, you just need one, or, you know, you've got five bathrooms, you need two of them, and they set them up in a series, or three of them in a series, and they've gotten pretty good reviews. And it's funny to me, plumbers are still apprehensive about on-demand water heaters, and I don't know why, because
neither do I.
This technology, if you've listened to me for any period of time, I probably in the 25 years that I've been on this radio station, almost immediately, I was talking about on-demand water heaters, and I used to get letters from manufacturers of tank heaters saying, it's not proven technology. 25 years ago, Europe had already been using this for 50 years. So, I mean, and it just makes perfect sense. Yes, it costs a little bit more, but as we more and more of us are installing them, the prices have come down. And I honestly think that we should all be using on-demand water heaters, because it makes no sense to store water and just wait for it to be used when ready. So if you go to their website, I believe it's trutankless.com, trutankless.com, you'll see the products, and they also, I'm almost positive, have a dealer locator there, so you could find someone locally to install it for you.
Well, I think there are two great benefits, Lou. It will cut down on water waste.
Yep.
And it will cut down on heating the water cost.
Correct.
Even if it is gas, it's still going to cost you.
Right.
Lou, it's been delightful talking to you. I am always listening to you on Saturday, so have a great weekend.
You're very kind, Peggy. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. 877-213-4-LOU. Let's see if we can get Janet in real quick. Janet's calling in from Park Ridge. Hi, Janet. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, hi, Lou. Good to talk to you. I have an old frame home that needs to be repainted, but the nails are rusted through. So you see all this rust.
Mm.
And they say that they'll put, you know, some Rust-Oleum type stuff primer first and then paint, but it will eventually come through again. Is there any way to keep that from happening?
So what I would do, it costs a little more, but I would have the painter buy some galvanized maize siding nails, M-A-Z-E,
Okay.
2.5 inch. And you're going to go right next to that nail where it's rusty, and you're going to, on a little bit of an angle, drive in the new maze nail and counter set it so it goes below the siding. And then the rusty nail, they're going to take that same nail punch, and they're going to punch it into the wall. So now the nails, the old nail is no longer touching the siding. And then they're going to patch, then they're going to patch, then they're going to prime, then they're going to paint, and the rust isn't going to come back.
Ah. Yeah, because that was worrisome if I spend the money to have all this painting done.
Well, if you're going to spend all the money to get this painting done, you're going to spend a little bit more money to have them put new nails in the siding. But it's not going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, how big of a house are we talking about? Two bedroom, three bedroom?
Three. It's a two-story
frame.
It's about 100 years old.
Right. So they'll probably spend a day doing the nails. And then the rest is all the painting.
Oh, okay.
But the nail, but here's the thing. The nails, that nail part, you know, that whole priming that they talked about, they would have spent a half a day doing that. So they're going to, that half day and the day with the nails is going to be combined. It's going to be more, but it's the right way to do it.
I see. Yeah, that sounds better than what I was hearing.
I agree.
From them. The other choice is to do siding, which would be very expensive, I think.
Right, right, right. I mean, then you don't have to paint ever again, but if you do it the right way, you know, you're talking about a 10-year proposition probably that you don't have to paint again.
That would be nice.
Right?
That would be great.
Right.
Yeah, because I've heard prepping is the major thing.
It's 100%. It is way more important than putting the paint on the wall. It's the prep. It always is. 90% of a good paint job is the prep that goes beforehand. Thank you so much for the phone call. Hey, it's our Just Text Me segment coming up after this report of WGN Radio News.
Time for Just Text Me.
How do you do this?
Maybe it's your fingernails. It's easy, look.
It's that easy.
And send.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
It's so funny how we don't talk anymore.
It's our Just Text Me segment. 877-213-4-LOU is the number. That's also our text line. And Lindsay's got some text messages. But the problem is she just stepped away from her microphone. So, oh, here she is.
Sorry.
You would never have known she was the magic of radio. And there she is, back at her helm. You have some Just Text Me. Wait, I was just thinking, you know, I was... talking about the great fishing trip that Mike and I went on. And, you know, obviously we solved a bunch of the world's problems while we were doing that. And then I was thinking when I got back and I was basking in the glow of, you know, our little honeymoon that we had together, we should come up with like a plan to fish the freshwater lakes of every state in the union.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And take my little fishing boat, although I don't know how we would do Hawaii.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Right.
We could figure it out.
We could figure it out. But. The thing is, time is not on our side. We would not be able to do one a year.
No.
So we'd have to be, we'd have to convince our wives that I think I've worked it out that we'd have to go once a quarter and do like four or five states at a time.
Have you ever done, I mean, can you think of, so you've done Illinois, you've done Wisconsin, have you done like Florida, have you, could you cross anything off so then maybe you could minimize that?
Yeah, I mean, I have to think about that. I haven't done a lot of fishing outside of the Midwest, and so, you know, just be like, honey, in June, we're going to go, you know, we're going to start, and, you know, we've got to travel, right, and then go, and, you know, it would be like work.
It could be like a lot of work.
It could be, you know what it could be? It could be a book. It could be research for a book. But it would still take us, like, the math would be 12 years to try and do this and still stay married.
Crunch time.
Right, and stay married. Right, that would be the key. So maybe it's not going to happen.
Good luck with that.
Thanks. Okay, how about Just Text Me?
All right, we've got one. Do I need a plumber to fix a piggot? Piggot?
Spigot?
No, it says piggot, but that's dripping from the center screw when we water the lawn. I think
I think it's spigot, not a piglet. Do you need a plumber? Well, if you wanted to try and do this yourself, you could try. So that stem, where that nut is that you're talking about where it's leaking, the first thing to do is to take that nut with a wrench and see if by tightening it just a little bit, righty tighty, lefty loosey, as you're looking at it, if one little tighten of the nut may stop the leak. Now, if that doesn't, and you have the ability to turn off the water to that spigot on the inside of the house, then you're going to loosen that nut with the water off, and then that stem that's in that valve, you're going to unscrew it, and it's going to come out in your hand, the whole assembly of the valve. It's either, if it's not a frost-proof, then it's a short little piece that fits in your hand. If it's a frost-proof, there may be a long stem or rod that goes through it, and when you come through it, the end of it is an O-ring. And if you went to the hardware store and said, can you give me a new O-ring for the end of this? They would put it on there, put a new screw in, screw it back in, tighten it back up, and you will probably solve the problem yourself without having to call a plumber. How about another one?
How do I determine if I need a new water softener or a whole house water conditioner? I live in Batavia.
By the quality of how the water feels, what was the name of that company that we love that were, they were like mad at me and then they become my buddies? West Suburban Water Treatment or something like that. It's a company out west, actually by you in Batavia, not too close, not too far away. And this is what they do. They could come out. I believe that they do service calls. I don't know if the estimates are free, but you could contact them. It's like West Suburban Water Softener.
Suburban Softener Company. They're in Oak Forest. It's suburbansofnerco.com.
Okay, so Oak Forest. So they're the south side, but they'd probably go to Batavia. Contact them and see if they could help you determine what your needs are, because it probably has a lot to do with water testing, how the water feels, and that way you know for sure if it's worth the investment.
And lastly, from Michael, he says, I've got drain flies coming out of our kitchen drain. What can I do?
Okay, if you go to HouseSmartsTV.com and you type in, I believe, smelly drain, you will see a video of me on how to clean your drains. What happens is, above the trap, where the drop typically is on a sink, drain flies will collect and hang out there. You need to clean that using a tube brush and some Pine Sol. What I do, you take a tube brush and you stick it down inside the drain. You pour a little Pine Sol full strength, I mean like a quarter cup of it, and you start going to up and down with the brush to clean the sides of the drain. This is true on a sink. This is true on a floor drain, but you have to get all the way down to the trap. And if you clean that and then rinse that, you should be able to solve the drain tile problem. Thank you for the text messages. Remember, you can always text me at the same number, 877-2134-LOU. Just don't text me and drive. I do want to mention something about a very established business that is closing after nearly a century of service, and that is Tenenbaum True Value Hardware. They're preparing to shut down and sell its Belmont Avenue store. They have a 98-year-old business, and as a customer of theirs and friends of the owners, I am saddened but also excited for the son and the daughter that have taken over the business, Steve and Pam, who will finally get a break. If you listen to the show with any regularity, you have heard me give the advice, if I gave it once, I gave it 1,000 times, when it comes to refinishing a door and how you want to use a spar varnish. And the tip I've always given was that you have to thin that first coat of the spar varnish with a little mineral spirits to be able to go on the door. Lindsay's probably heard me give that advice 1,000 times because people, need to know how to do it the right way. It was Maury Lipschitz, who was the son-in-law of the original Tenenbaum owner, that taught me that trick. And I have given that advice, as I mentioned, 150 times if it was once. And he was a terrific gentleman who passed away in 2019. His son Steve and daughter Pam have been involved in the business for many, many years. When I was a builder, I was a regular customer of Tenenbaum True Value Hardware building in that area where they're located on Belmont Avenue. We own a rental property right around the corner. The only other hardware store that I will shop at, other than the ones that my wife and I own, is Tenenbaum True Value. And They're two terrific people. I am excited for their next chapter in their lives. They run a terrific business. Anybody that's been a customer of Tenenbaum knows they're rooted in the community. They've been around forever, as I mentioned, 98 years. And they will be closing their doors soon and eventually making way for new development there. And congratulations to Steve and Pam. You run a heck of a business, and only the best to you and in the future. So, salute. Welcome back. Our next caller is going to get a House Smarts Radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling. By the way, the House Smarts Radio hats, they're in a lovely thinning black. They're actually very cool. Whether you're renovating your kitchen or bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or give them a call at 773-661-0606. We'll send that hat out to Judy. Hi, Judy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Well, hi, Lou. Love your show. Hey, got a question. I had a handyman paint my bathroom, and he hung up my mirror above the sink, which is about 3 by 2.5 feet, plate glass. He glued it to the wall.
Right.
And now the mirror has gone bad. And I don't have a clue how to get that thing off the wall. I mean, it is stuck on there tighter than...
And you, but there, so it's a plate glass mirror where you can get behind it.
No, I.
No. But in other words, there's no frame around it. Like it's just the edge of the mirror.
No. Exactly. Right. Yes.
So unfortunately, when you glue it on like that to take it off, you will damage the wall. And that's so you're going to take a very thin putty knife, or someone is, like a 6-inch taping knife, and you're going to go around it, kind of like. Are you a baker at all?
Yes.
All right. You know how sometimes when you make brownies or in a pan or something and you can't get, you got to get underneath it and you got to go all the way around?
Right.
You're taking the brownie.
Like an egg.
Right. You're taking them out of the pan and you got to work that. There's also a tool that is a suction cup that goes on the front that holds the mirror. You may be better off hiring a glass company to come do this for you.
Okay.
And maybe if you need a new mirror. You know what I mean? If that's the ultimate goal,
yeah.
I would probably go that route. Where are you calling from, Judy?
Congreville. It's halfway between Peoria and Bloomington, Illinois.
Okay.
I talked to you once before, but it's been a long time.
Didn't I? You didn't I tell you never to call here again, Judy?
Wasn't that you?
I said, Judy, don't ever call this number again. Wasn't that you?
No, it was another.
Oh, you're right. It was another Judy. It was a Judy from Bloomington. That's right. Find a glass company down there to do this, because the risk is with a plate glass thing like that. I don't want you to hurt yourself. They're going to scrape it off. Okay. You're going to buy a mirror that's just slightly bigger than what you have, and they're going to put it back the same way and cover it all up, and then it's not going to go bad, and it's going to look nice. And I think you'll be happy with the results. All right, it's time for our last call this morning, sponsored by ComEd, Powering Lives. And our last caller this morning is Barbara in Bloomingdale. Hi, Barbara.
Good morning. Lou, we have a sprinkler system in our yard, and it evidently has sprung a leak or something because our water bill that is normally $50 a month has gone up to $141.
Ooh.
We cannot find that leak. How do we go about finding that leak?
Are you trying to do this yourself?
Well, we've called a plumber and our
sprinkler.
A sprinkler guy out, and he tried a couple of times, and he did find a real small leak, but he said he didn't think that was, and he fixed that, but he said he didn't really believe that was the answer.
So they tried to pressurize the system and did not find a leak.
Right. No, he just walked around.
Okay. So typically with a sprinkler company, when they're trying to find a leak, just like when they clear it out in the winter time, they'll put a compressor on there and try and get and pump air into the system so that they can hear where the leak is happening with the system off. And so you probably, if you're convinced that it's a sprinkler leak, then I think that I would contact a company like that to a company, a more thorough company, to take a look at it. I will tell you this. In a drought like we're having right now, the sprinkler companies are busier than a one-arm paper hanger. I mean, they are so busy right now. And so getting someone to come out there, you know, is going to be tough. But they need to pressurize the system to figure out if, in fact, it's leaking.
Would that be the same people that we have to turn the system on every year?
Yes, absolutely. They should absolutely be able to do that for you, because when they come out with a compressor. And, I mean, you just want to make sure. Do you have a water meter in your home right now?
Yes. Okay.
So with everything off, you know, if the sprinkler is not running and no running water, let's go first inspect and see if, in fact, that meter is not moving, right? So if it's not moving, then we know that, okay, the leak is not there, it's not in the house, then it probably is the sprinkler system. But somebody needs to come out and do a more thorough inspection on that system to make sure it's not leaking. Thanks so much for the phone call. Thank you so much for listening. Lindsay for producing, Joe Brand on sports, Don Kleppen on news, Bob Ferguson, engineer extraordinaire. Have a great weekend, everybody, and happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there.